Now we come to the seventh stanza of the first chapter of Bodhichaya Avatara. And here it says, "For many eons, deeply pondering the mighty sages sow its benefits, whereby unnumbered multitudes are brought with ease to supreme joy." It says that the mighty sages means like sages or the great beings, like Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and wise men. They have been thinking about this, they have been experimenting with this, they have been researching on this for not just a few years or a few centuries, but as according to the Buddha, eons after eons, and found that the bodhicitta is the most, you know, strongest and the most important thing that would bring the good things for yourself and others. As said before in this last stanza also, that bodhicitta is a very strong way of purification. It's the most strongest thing that would, you know, purify the negative actions of the past. Because when you have this bodhicitta, great compassion, and the resolution to work for the benefit of all the beings, then, you know, your motivation would be to not to do anything negative things, to have a strong aspiration, strong motivation to purify. So therefore, you know, it's the best way to purify the past deeds is to stop continuing these negative actions and negative emotions. And the most important element to do that is that you really have the intention to do this, because, you know, whatever we do, I mean, my actions are basically my own responsibility. If I really deeply want to stop one of my activities, how to act or how to react, then I will do it. So therefore this intention, this aspiration of bodhicitta becomes the strongest purification of the past deeds. And not only that, but the strongest way to stop, you know, doing negative things in the future. Because, you know, if I really, you know, act and react with an attitude of bodhicitta, that I do things that's good for me and good for others, and to find out, you know, how to do that, and really deeply involved in that, then I will also stop doing negative things. I will, you know, this is what, you know, you usually say in Buddhism, you know, Buddha said that, you know, do no evil and try to do more positive things. These two can come only if you have a really strong aspiration, intention, and commitment to do this. So therefore the bodhicitta becomes very important here, actually indispensable. And not only that, but if you really have a great motivation, a compassion, and then all your negative emotions also you can deal with. You can directly working on your negative emotions. Because most of the negative emotions, actually all the negative emotions come from, you know, the opposite of compassion. The compassion is a direct remedy, a direct kind of opposite of all the negative emotions. So therefore, when you generate compassion, when you have this aspiration, you know, based or inspired by compassion, you are, you know, practically and, you know, directly working on your negative emotions. Anger is the opposite of compassion. Greed is also the opposite of compassion, because greed is I want, you know, what others have, I want. I want to take the things for myself and myself alone. And compassion is I want things for everybody. So there's, you know, the opposite of greed. Jealousy is I'm unhappy that somebody has something good or somebody have achieved something good. And compassion is rejoicing at others' positive things, others', you know, achievements, and happy that others have something good. Pride, arrogance is I am, you know, I am great, or I want to be the best, or, you know, I am puffed up with whatever qualities I have. And compassion is wanting others to have the same, and, you know, humbling myself, you know, I want to share what I have. I wish others as much that I have, and that I, you know, I'm willing and I wish to have good things for others. So all the negative emotions are the, you know, so therefore it's the most important way of working on my negative emotions, and thereby negative habitual tendencies as well. So if I have that intention of bodhicitta, if I have that real aspiration of bodhicitta, then I'm naturally, almost kind of automatically enhancing my positive activities, my positive actions. You know, because if I'm doing something that's good for others, that's good for me, that's, you know, positive, that's, you know, more beneficial to all others, then I kind of, I'm happy, I'm rejoicing, you know, I'm more interested to doing that. So therefore, naturally, you know, even small positive things, I enhance, I encourage, I kind of, it becomes stronger and stronger, my positive things. And therefore, eventually, it directly leads to the perfect enlightenment, you know, because the enlightenment is nothing more than somebody who has generated the limitless compassion, the limitless wisdom. That's the enlightenment. So therefore, if you have that bodhicitta, or the compassion and wisdom seed, or inspiration, or aspiration, or motivation, it needs to, it has to lead to that, the enlightened state for myself. And, you know, because I'm working for the others, so it's necessarily also working for the benefit of others. That's why it leads to the second, next stanza, which is the stanza number 8. Those who wish to crush the many sorrows of existence, those who wish to quell the pain of living beings, who wish to have experience of a myriad joys, should never turn away from bodhicitta. So those people, you know, those of us who want to get rid of, the crush all the sufferings and pain and problems of our samsaric state of being, samsaric existence, we need to generate bodhicitta and work on that. Those who wish to, not only for ourselves, but also quell or, get rid of the pains and the sufferings of all other beings, also the starting point, the most important kind of a base or the first thing that we should generate is this intention, aspiration, this motivation of bodhicitta. And also those, who wishes to experience the highest peace and joy of enlightenment, that if one needs to learn how to experience in such a way that there is no more fear, there's no more dissatisfaction, there's no more, ignorance and, unclarity, they need to generate the bodhicitta and work through bodhicitta. So therefore, the compassion and wisdom is the, essence of, the enlightenment is the essence for the benefit of beings, is the essence, the way to attain that. So therefore, to have this bodhicitta becomes the, the required basic or basis to work towards this. So therefore, nobody should turn away from the bodhicitta. It is so important, and it's so, indispensable. So therefore, we need to try to generate that. It's something that we can generate. Something that it's because how we see things, how our attitude is based on how we understand things, how we see things. How we see what is good for me and what is good for, what's the most important thing for me. So if I know, if I have this way of saying, if I don't have this misunderstanding that only wishing things for me, only, craving things for my own self and, in kind of a only for myself, then it will not lead to any real good thing for myself alone. But if I really understand that, of course I wish good things for me, but doing good things for me or positive things or, for my, good future and for my, benefit now, is not, not contrary, not kind of, I have to do it for the with the expense of others. I don't have to do that. The more I, I wish good for others, I work for the benefit of others, also that's good for me. I need to see this, understanding that, doing something good for me is not, not at the expense of or not doing anything good for others. It's not like that. Doing good for me is together with doing good things for other people, wishing good things for other people, all the beings, having compassion. Having compassion is not that, it is not that then if I have compassion, then I cannot do anything good for myself. That's the wrong view. If I have compassion and if I act with compassion, that will be the best thing for me. And not only best for others, but also for myself, the best thing. If I understand like that, then, having compassion and acting with bodhicitta doesn't become something that I'm doing it, at the expense of myself, that I'm sacrificing myself because then I have compassion. Not like that. If I see, if I understand clearly that if I have compassion, if I do something with compassion, that's the best thing for myself also. That's the most beneficial thing for myself also. So therefore, when I see this together, because sometimes people say, oh, I have been trying to be compassionate all the time. Now it's the time really I look after myself. How do you look after yourself? Being not compassionate, how do you look after yourself? You can't look after yourself just not being compassionate. There's no way to look after yourself without having compassion. Only being very kind of a, then you become only, you know, full of, you know, dissatisfaction, full of wanting more, or you know, unhappiness. How do you look after yourself without compassion? Is there any way that you can really look after yourself without compassion? There's no way. So this understanding becomes extremely important.